07705, David J. Hines is the Secretary of Veterans Affairs. Mr. Carpenter.
Thank you very much, Your Honor. Good morning. Kenneth Carpenter, appearing on behalf of David Harms. Court, please. Mr. Harms' appeal to the Veterans Court was rejected on the basis of lack of jurisdiction. Mr. Harms is therefore denied the right of judicial review of a decision of the Board of Veterans Appeals. The Veterans Court incorrectly found that a decision by the Board on a motion to vacate under 38 CFR 20.904A was the same as a motion for reconsideration under 20.1000. These are not the same types of decision. The decision of the Veterans Court was that the motion had to be made within 120 days of the original decision in order to properly invoke the Veterans Court jurisdiction. Mr. Harms respectfully disagrees and suggests that the Veterans Court has misinterpreted and misread 7252 and 7266. When the decision called for by the VA's regulation is a decision of the board. As a decision of the board, that decision is entitled to judicial review. Mr. Harms timely filed his notice of appeal with the denial of the motion motion to vacate under 20.904, and the Veterans Court improperly dismissed the appeal for lack of jurisdiction.
Would a motion to vacate be allowed if it was filed 5 years later?
Yes, Your Honor.
Why?
Because there is no time limit described in the regulation as to when the motion for to vacate can be filed, as there is no limitation on the motion to review for clear and unmistakable error or a motion for reconsideration. The only difference in a motion for reconsideration is that if the motion for reconsideration is filed within 120 days, that stays the time for filing under the court's interpretation of that jurisdiction below. As a consequence...
Well, a motion for reconsideration would be filed within 120 days as required. Then the veteran would have another 120 days to appeal any denial.
Well, to appeal the original board decision, and he could also appeal the denial of the motion for reconsideration.
But the motion for reconsideration is submitted to the chair of the board.
That's correct.
What difference does that make? Isn't that still an action that's taken by the board through the chairman?
No, Your Honor. It's a specific statutory provision for an independent review by the chairman to determine whether there is obvious error in this court. Its mayor decision determined that, similar to the locomotive engineer case, it was a question of discretion specifically delegated to the chairman. This is not a question of discretion. This is a specific regulatory provision that permits the board itself to review its own decision under two specific grounds. One ground is a denial of due process. The other ground is a fraud. These are very specifically defined and require a decision. And in fact, in the way in which the regulation is written, the regulation actually concedes certain circumstances which will be considered violations of due process requirement.
Can the chairman submit a petition for reconsideration after he considers it to the board?
Under 20.1000, yes. And as a matter of fact, that's what happens. If the chairman decides that the matter needs to be reconsidered, then the chairman orders the underlying decision, which he reconsidered, to be vacated, and then the matter is resubmitted to the board.
To the board.
I believe the chairman probably has authority to make the decision himself anew, but the standard procedure is for the board to make the decision.
Now, on the other hand, for a motion to vacate, that goes to the board. So it doesn't go through the chair, it goes directly to the board, and the board has the authority to review it.
That's
for
correct.
Those two particular reasons.
Yes.
Now, the appeal from the board, then what? What is the time period for appeal upon denial from the board?
Well, as soon as the board makes its new decision, then under 7266, the clock would start running 120 days from the date of the board decision. Would be required for the notice of appeal to be filed, and that was done in this case, and Mr. Harms' notice of appeal was filed within 120 days. What the court below found was is that that 120-day clock began at the time of the original board decision, not at the time of the second board decision, and that the only way that Mr. Harms could have stayed that clock would have been had he filed similar to a 20.1000 motion, filed his motion to vacate within the 120 days.
But Mr. Harms isn't making any new factual evidence claims here. He is just
making legal arguments.
He's just making legal arguments, the sort of things that could have been made by appealing the 2002 decision, right? Rather than asking to vacate.
You mean the 2002?
The final decision.
In other words,
he's challenging the final decision on legal grounds, which you usually do by
a direct appeal.
And instead, he's vacating and thereby avoiding any time limits on an appeal process. Is that what's going on there?
Well, that is the net result, Your Honor.
Yeah,
however, the fact is that by regulation, he is limited to only two grounds. He can only assert in his motion to vacate under 20.904A a denial of due process by the board or a fraud that was perpetrated on him.
Yeah, those are the
in a direct appeal. Well, but in a direct appeal, Your Honor, he would not be limited to those issues. And quite frankly, I'm not sure how one would present a fraud claim to the reviewing court, but I suppose that's possible theoretically. But it seems to me that that would have to be something that would have to be decided on the fraud side of the equation in the first instance by the board. And it seems to me that what the secretary has done here is, under his authority under 501, is to promulgate a regulation similar to the regulation that he promulgated in 3.105A for review for clear and unmistakable error. Prior to the statutory provisions, there were no similar provisions for internal review, if you will, for a clear and unmistakable error. And the same would be true of that scenario, that an original decision could have been directly appealed as opposed to coming back for the more formidable burden of establishing clear and unmistakable error. The burden under 20.904A is to show either a denial of due process and to have a decision on that allegation, which would then be subject to judicial review. And that's what the Veterans Court denied Mr. Harms the opportunity to have, was judicial review of that decision. I think it's also noteworthy, Your Honor, to look at the authorizing statute for this, which is not 7103C, but 7104A. And 7104A includes in subsection D the reasons and bases requirement. Obviously, one of the problems and the belief that Mr. Harms had that he was entitled to review was that the board gave no reasons or bases for its decision to deny his motion to vacate. Clearly, under 7104,
The appeal just have been on the motion to vacate. The only thing they should have looked at is just that motion rather than the underlying legal issues.
Well, the underlying legal issues are what's presented in the motion. I'm not sure how you would separate them. You make a motion,
the other becomes the appeal that should have been made in 2002.
No. I don't believe you can go back to the underlying decision to review except as to specific allegations of denial of due process or an allegation of fraud.
You're still just going around the final judgment, finding another way to appeal the final judgment in 2002, only you're doing it in 2005 instead of in a timely fashion.
But with respect, Your Honor, that's a method that has been provided by the secretary. And there's simply no reason for this court or the court below to say to the secretary, you don't have the right to provide this alternative method. It may be fairly and accurately characterized as you suggest, but it is a methodology that has been provided by regulation. And if it's been provided by regulation, then it is unlawful for the lower court to have denied Mr. Harms the right to have that alternative methodology reviewed.
Mr. Carpenter?
Yes, sir.
What about 20.904B, the fraud section? That can be brought by the court also at any time?
Yes, sir. And actually, I believe the motion to vacate can be brought by the board itself.
Well, that's what it said. And at that point in time, they can also diminish the benefits that would have been allowed to fraud.
Through fraud, yes.
You're extending that time period to the board at any time. Should the board also be limited after it finds a fraud or the fraudulent evidence that caused the benefits to be issued?
I think in fairness to the agency, if the agency discovers a fraud at some point in time, let's say 20 years down the road, that they should not be prohibited from making that decision. But likewise... Once they discover that fraud.
Should they be limited at that point by a certain time?
Oh, I see. Well, the regulations don't provide that. That would make intuitive sense. That there should be some point in time in which they have to bring it. There is a specific statute that says that if an award is in place for 20 years or more, it is protected from change except for fraud. So even with a protected rating, they have by regulation...
But after fraud is discovered, there should be a certain period of time.
Well, there should be, Your Honor, but there is none provided for in the regulation, no. Any more than there is a point of time provided for by the veteran.
Should there?
Yes, I believe there should be.
On both A and B, then?
Well, I didn't write the regulation. It's not my job to write the regulation. I think that probably is advisable for the agency to have in its regulation. And I think there are some due process considerations that require it. But at this point in time, neither prerequisite is in the regulation. Thank you, Your Honor. I'll reserve the balance of my time.
Thank you, Mr. Carpenter. Mr. Duker.
May it please the Court. Mr. Harms concedes that the 120-day period for challenging the 2002 decision had expired. He also concedes in his reply brief that his challenge to the denial of the motion to vacate places before the court, or would place before the court, exactly the same substance as he could have challenged as a direct appeal.
38 CFR 2904, an appellate decision may be vacated by the Board of Veterans Appeals at any time.
Yes, Your Honor. And the issue here is not whether or not the board has the authority to vacate a decision. The issue for this court is the jurisdiction of the Veterans Court to review that, and whatever the validity of the board's authority to address a motion to vacate, that authority cannot be used to aggrandize or to extend the jurisdiction of the Veterans Court. And we believe...
You're saying that if the chairman makes a clear error by declining to review a charge of fraud, nonetheless that can't be reviewed by the Veterans Court?
Your Honor, there are ways to address, there are remedies that the veteran would have in the case of due process error. And I guess I would like to clarify the fraud issue. Actually, the regulation, the way it's written, it only applies to fraud by the veteran. It's not fraud by the VA, and the VA is to act in the interest, to some extent, of the veteran, and that fraud section only applies to fraud by the veteran. But, for example, if there were a due process violation, the veteran could always challenge this as a Q claim. It's a totally separate procedure, or perhaps seek benefits through a motion to reopen under 5108. So Congress has established methodology and processes for addressing these types of errors, and essentially what Mr. Harms would like to do is to circumvent the process that's been created by Congress and to seek an alternate route of challenging board's actions, and in this case through essentially circumventing the 120-day rule, because what we have here is an admission that...
Aren't you limited to just due process and fraud, then?
I'm sorry?
Aren't you limited to just due process and fraud? You're circumventing, but you're limited to due process and fraud.
Theoretically, there is some limitation there, but as you see in this case, I mean, the limitation, if allowed, wouldn't be that extensive. Here, the due process allegation is essentially that the board didn't have jurisdiction to address a claim that it had to remand it once it found that there was new material evidence, and also a claim that basically the burden of proof was wrongly placed on the veteran. These are alleged as due process violations. So you could have a variety of claims that are couched in terms of due process that are brought for the Veterans Court. Mr. Harms' interpretation is contrary to the purpose of the statute of limitations, which is to encourage or discourage the presentation of stale claims by people who sleep on their rights. Here, there's been no allegation that Mr. Harms couldn't have brought this within the 120-day period. And in fact, he says that his challenge would have brought before the court the same substance as he could have brought in a direct challenge to the 2002 court decision. We also believe that just as with motions for reconsideration, the same rule should apply, and that's what the Veterans Court held here in its en banc decision. There's really no reason to distinguish between reconsideration and vacater. One issue that's been brought up is the difference between the chairman and the board, but I think this case demonstrates this can be a very thin line. Here, there was a decision by one individual. Had this been a motion for reconsideration, that same individual probably could have addressed this question of reconsideration, but instead it was addressed as a motion to vacate, and one individual decided that motion to vacate. So in both cases, you'd have a decision by one individual deciding it, and I think there's no reason to believe that Congress intended a different result just because of the person was wearing a hat as a designee of the chairman, or the person was wearing a hat as a member of the board. In addition, there's...
The entire board review the motion to vacate?
No, Your Honor.
Just one individual, a member of the board?
Yes, Your Honor.
Is that the process?
Yes, Your Honor. I believe the process is both with reconsideration and with vacater, that, for example, with reconsideration, you have just the chairman who addresses it, and perhaps a designee of the chairman. And I think if there is, if the chairman or his designee decides that reconsideration is appropriate, then they would go to the full board, and the regulations provide for that. Here, it can be decided by one individual motion to vacate. And I would also add that the person could file unlimited amounts of motions to vacate. I mean, Mr. Harms could file a motion to vacate tomorrow. This would be filed repeatedly. But there is no basis to distinguish between reconsideration and vacater. In addition to the fact that both could be decided by one individual, you also have the similarities between reconsideration and vacater. For example, the fraud provision. Fraud provision is virtually identical and is substantively identical in reconsideration and vacater. In addition, at the time that...
Are you saying that substantive issues other than fraud and due process could be raised by a vacater request? You say there's no difference.
Yes, between reconsideration and vacater. So, for example, an individual could file a motion for reconsideration. Actually, the veteran wouldn't file a motion for reconsideration, I believe, based on fraud, because it is directed just towards fraud by the veteran. But
if either one is filed within 120 days.
If you file it within 120 days, there would be the possibility of review under some circumstances. But
so your comment is directed to such motions made only within 120 days, is that right?
No, Your Honor. What we're
so
saying is...
No difference.
Yes, Your Honor. What we're saying is that the rule that was established in Mayer and some other cases by this court is that if you file your motion for reconsideration outside of the 120-day period, then there's no jurisdiction in this court whatsoever to address any issue with respect to that claim, either the original decision or the motion, the denial of the motion for reconsideration. We argue, contend, that the same rule should apply here, and there's no basis for distinguishing vacater and reconsideration with respect to what rule should apply if the motion to vacate or the motion to reconsider is filed after 120 days. There are a host of similarities between reconsideration and vacater. In addition, when vacater was established, there were links between the two. Vacater cross-referenced reconsideration. They discussed these in similar terms. And in fact, in some place, the regulation regarding vacater actually refers to reconsideration. Your Honor, even if the court were to decide that a different rule should apply than the rule for reconsideration, even in that context, we contend in the alternative that this court should look to the Supreme Court's decision in Locomotive Engineers. And under that decision, unless the individual raises allegations that involve new evidence or changed circumstances, there's no review of that decision or determination, and that's no matter when it's filed. And we believe that in this case, there has been no allegation of new evidence or changed circumstances. All there is basically perhaps a new argument, but the Supreme Court's decision and subsequent decisions interpreting the Locomotive Engineers have held that just a new argument does not provide jurisdiction. There's no jurisdiction review, a new argument. And basically, the reason for allowing some review of new evidence and changed circumstances is perhaps that would not be able to be reviewed unless there were a provision for review of that after a certain time period. But as we argue in our brief, we don't believe that there is any jurisdiction. The court doesn't even need to go to the issue of whether or not there's new evidence or changed circumstances, because under the statutory review of the provisions in this case, or sorry, of the jurisdiction in this case, that is not a final decision of the board. If you look to section 7104, for example, of the statute, it discusses the jurisdiction of the board, and it discusses in terms of a decision that arrives to the board from the VA. It's not a decision that starts with the board. And essentially, Mr. Harms is contending that this is some new matter, that his motion to vacate creates an entirely new, separate case that's decided by the board, and that's not the case. What happens here is, in all instances, aside from Q, which I'll address, but in all instances aside from Q, you just have a decision that starts with the VA. They address it in the first instance. The board is essentially an appellate body that addresses these matters. And so they all come up from the VA to the board. In addition, the statutes state that there must be an order providing relief or denying relief. And the regulations state that this relief is in the form of denying benefits or granting benefits. Here, there was no order granting or denying benefits. In fact, there couldn't have been. Even if there was an order granting vacater, all it would do is put it back to the board to then issue a new decision, given whatever the alleged error was in that case.
These regulations are published by the VA. And in that particular regulation, Rule 904, they state at any time upon request. What does any time mean? Is there any limitation on that?
No, Your Honor. The board has not interpreted there to be any limitation, both for motions to reconsider and for motions to vacate. They're similar in that context, too, that in both cases, reconsideration and vacater, there is no limitation on the time frame for filing a motion to vacate or motion for reconsideration. So, for example, 20 years down the line, you could seek reconsideration with the board. But our contention here is not that this regulation is invalid, but just that interpreting the jurisdiction of this court, the court cannot use this regulation, which was not, the vacater is not a creation of Congress, it's a creation by the VA, but the court cannot use this regulation to extend the jurisdiction of the Veterans Court beyond where Congress intended. And I think based on fair interpretation of the statute, there is no basis to believe that Congress intended for there to be reviews 20 years after the board's decision on the merits of a claim for benefits based on the artifice or the device of creating a filing motion to vacate. I would like to, I think Mr. Harms in his brief addresses Q claims, says that perhaps because of the existence of Q claims, this demonstrates that not all board decisions start with the VA, but that is a separate provision. It was actually, it took a legislative amendment to allow there to be decisions that start with the board, or appeals that start with the board. And Q is a very unique context. The regulations also indicate that the rules governing normal appeals do not apply to Q appeals. So these are very different rules that apply. And in addition, even in the context of Q claims, not all actions of the board are final decisions of the board that can be reviewed. For example, if there is if the board decides on a Q claim to dismiss without prejudice, that's not a final decision of the board and it can't be appealed to the Veterans Court.
You're not telling us that that situation exists here, are you?
No, Your Honor, I'm just saying that there was an argument by Mr. Harms that because of the fact that there are these Q claims, that perhaps it suggests that not all claims, not all appeals start with the VA. But what we are contending is that that is distinguishable on the basis that it's a different, entirely different context. Q claims are entirely different. It was allowed by Congress Congress amended the statute to allow for appeals that start with the board with respect to Q claims, and they didn't do so with respect to other normal appeals, and the fact that they did not do so also is a further indication that they did not intend for jurisdiction in the Veterans Court to address the substance of claims that are 20 years, 10 years old. Unless there are any further questions, thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Duger.
Thank you.
Court, please. The government suggests that Mr. Harms is attempting to extend the jurisdiction of the Veterans Court. On the contrary, Mr. Harms is trying to enforce the jurisdiction granted by Congress to the Veterans Court. The Veterans Court is charged with the exclusive jurisdiction to review decisions of the board. This is, or was, a decision of the board. The government attempts to say that it's not a decision of the board because it's like a motion for reconsideration. Well, it is like a motion for reconsideration, but it is also different. It is not decided by the chairman, it is decided by a member of the board. And to respond to the inquiry that you made, Judge Gallarza, decisions on motions to vacate are decided either by the board member who actually makes the decision, or this because it is at any time, board decisions previously were made by three members, and all three members would be responsible to reconsider, to examine the motion to vacate if it was a three-judge administrative law judge decision by the board. The substance of Mr. Harms' appeal is that the Veterans Court was wrong, as the VA is wrong, in asserting that a motion for reconsideration is the same as a decision by the board on a motion to vacate. A decision is required by the board under their own regulation. As a board decision, the Congress amended the jurisdiction of the Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims to take out the jurisdictionally conferring notice of disagreement requirement. And when they did that, all that was required was a final decision by the board. When the board makes a decision on a motion to vacate, it has made a final decision. That decision is subject to judicial review. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Carpenter. Mr. Duger, this is taken into submission.
All rise. The Honorable Court is adjourned until tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock a.m. You're back again?
I don't have to come back again.
Oh, no, you don't have to come back at 2.
I do. I have to.